This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. From the surface of the planet Earth, in theory, we're going to the surface of our very large moon. And Bob is here to introduce contracts to contractors, intuitive machines. Bob, what is intuitive machines and why is it hired SpaceX?
Good evening, John. Well, Intuitive Machines is one of a plethora of private companies that are building lunar landers to bring science instruments and rovers to the moon. These are all small private companies, and many of them are actually rocket startup companies, but they're all small, and they are building and they own the landers. And so Intuitive Machines already has contracts with NASA to launch two different landers to the moon. Both of them are supposed to launch in 22. One early in the year and one late in the year. And in those first two contracts, they hired SpaceX to be the launch provider. Well, the news here is that they've now hired SpaceX to be the launch provider for a third lunar lander mission. And what's interesting about that lunar lander mission is that it is not a mission for NASA. The other missions were initially put together, or at least the company was hired to provide a lander so that NASA could get instruments to the moon. But this third lander does not have any NASA payloads on it. They have announced they're going to launch a lander in 24 to the moon with SpaceX as the launch provider, and anyone can buy payload space on that lander. Any private operation wants to buy space, they can. Of course, obviously NASA could if it wishes to, but this is a private planetary probe to land on the moon that anyone can buy payloads to. Now, I think this is a perfect opportunity for a lot of universities that have programs to teach students how to build science payloads and satellites. And what they can do here for relatively little is they could offer their students the chance to fly a instrument to the lunar surface that will not only teach them how to do cutting-edge engineering, but it's going to show them how to do cutting-edge exploration. They'll actually be doing some real cutting-edge exploration. You know, a lot of these CubeSats that students put up, they try to do real work, but most of it's, you know, not real, or at least it doesn't accomplish that much. And though it's cool the students learn how, there's a certain it takes a little bit of the fun out of it. This is the real thing, and that's really exciting. And in conjunction with this, I put together a list. There are 9 lander rovers all going to be arriving on the moon before 24, and all of them are following the capitalism in space recommendations that I put forth in my 16 policy. NASA is not building any of the landers or rovers. They are hiring, well, I shouldn't say rovers, they're doing one rover, but they are hiring private companies to provide the landing capability to get to the moon. And this has created an industry, American industry, of landers that can get probes to the moon to do research.
A puzzle, Bob, for another day, but I just mentioned the puzzle. As I understand it, they have not worked out private property on the moon. Is that still true?
That is still a problem, yes. That's a major discussion I make in my new book, Conscious Choice, about the problems we're going to have down the road because we have not clarified the property rights on the moon. But these landers, they are there are opportunities to do research on the moon,
Sure. And
mostly to do research by small operations that don't have a lot of money, and that's really the best part of it.
All right, let's go to Rocket Lab. Rocket Lab is a company you've admired for some time. What is the latest?
Well, before I talk about Rocket Lab, John, I want to talk about a new report that just came out about the small sat rocket industry that Rocket Lab is leading. This report, basically, this guy does this and report at a conference once a year, and he basically is reporting on the state of the small sat rocket industry. These are rocket companies like Rocket Lab trying to put up small satellites. And his report says that this industry continues to grow. He counts a total of 155 different rockets that have been proposed to bring, to put small payloads into orbit. Now, a lot of those 155 have gone defunct. They haven't raised money. But right now, he counts 58 either operational or in development. And of those 58, 22 are American companies, and China has a large number of the remaining ones. So this is an emerging business, a gigantic business that doesn't seem to show any signs of slowing up. And now we talk to Rocket Lab. Rocket Lab has had two stories in the last few days. One, they announced that they're going to attempt to, they just completed a launch last week, got out of the, this was their recovery launch from a launch failure in May. And they've now announced that they're going to try to launch three times in 1 month beginning late in August. That means they're going to basically be in September, one Rocket Lab launch a week. And they've been promising to go to weekly launches now for about 2 years, and it appears now that, and those launch, the launch failure, it was the second one, slowed them towards that, goal. But it now looks like they're going to do it. One launch a week in September. And they also announced that they are going to have to shift one of their launch, they were going to try to do a launch for NASA. This is later in the year in October. This is a lunar mission they're launching for NASA that will orbit the moon. And they announced that they have to shift the launch facility from Wallops Island in Virginia to New Zealand because the NASA bureaucracy and the FAA bureaucracy and the various range bureaucracies have not yet approved their software for their their launch termination software. This is the software and the system for terminating or aborting a launch. Once it's launched and something goes wrong, you've got to be able to basically blow it up so it doesn't crash into any place. And they've been using this system in New Zealand for more than 20 launches now for 3 years. But NASA for now more than a year and a half has been unable to approve that software. And so this is the second time they've had to move a launch out of Wallops Island and to back to New Zealand because of the bureaucracy and out of our government.
Space Force, Bob, it's in the news. They're acquiring.
This is part of that same story of these new rocket startups. The Space Force announced this week that it has added three more small sat rocket companies to its program to develop rockets that can be launched quickly at a moment's notice. Now, they already had eight companies competing for contracts under this program, and they've now added three more. That makes 11 small sat rocket companies, and some are not so small, the companies, and some of them are not startups, but these are all companies who want to launch rockets on quick notice and do it for the military. And there are now 11 of them, five of which are operational, Northrop Grumman, Rocket Lab, SpaceX, Virgin Orbit, and ULA. Five have announced plans to make their first orbital launch this year. That's Avium, ABL, Astra Relativity, and Firefly. And the first Astra flight is later this month, in fact. And if those all get going, that'll be five more companies that are now rocket companies active in the United States. So this is once again showing that this industry is just booming like crazy.
Bob, to your knowledge, and I speculate, it's not here. Are these companies organizing a combine, an alliance? Are they getting together and having symposiums and conferences together?
Well, there are conferences all the time about the industry and about what's going on. But this is a competitive industry. These companies are competing against each other. There's no cartel going on right now, not among the small companies. The big companies have tried to do it. SpaceX kind of broke that up. Is trying to force a breakup of that. Hasn't quite succeeded yet. That's why the big space companies aren't competing very well, because rather than try to compete, they work as a cartel, try to squelch a competition.
Well, I was going in another direction.
Oh, okay.
One of the reasons that I'm asking about an organization, I don't know, you'd call it a lobby if you want to, is that Washington regulates what is moving and sometimes what is not moving. And we saw the difficulties that SpaceX has gone through these last months for the most straightforward thing of launching Starship and now Super Heavy. So I'm just wondering, I'm remembering from the late 20th century the story about how Microsoft only had three lobbyists in Washington.
Yeah.
And the warning was, you're going to need a lot more than that. And they did. I mean, 20 years later, they've got a big team.
There is a commercial lobbying organization for this industry, but I don't think it does a particularly good job. It's mainly focused on protecting the interests of the bigger companies. There is, at this moment, as far as I know, no good trade organization functioning to protect the smaller companies in D.C. Not yet, at least, John.
And that is a direction we're moving in because of because depending on what state you're in, what time of you're launching, and we know that regulations they're necessary. The FAA has made it possible to convert what was daredevils of 100 years ago into a commercial aircraft industry. So we'll see as much. Now we go to your favorite, well, your former favorite big space outfit, India. How are they doing, Bob?
Well, India pretty much shut his whole aerospace industry and its space program down last year. And so pretty much for the last year and a half, they've done very little. They started to do launches late in 20, and they've done a handful of very few launches, but a handful of launches in the last 9 months. But they had not done any major launches, and they were trying to launch their larger GSLV rocket this week. And it was to put up a Indian-built Earth observation satellite that was cutting edge on, new design and trying to do it for themselves. Launch failed. The third stage did not ignite as planned, and the thing basically fell in the ocean. And so this is a failure, and it's a big deal. It's a problem because a variation of this large GSLV rocket is going to be used in their manned program. They wanted to try to get going by next year, and that's not going to happen, I think, now. It's a big problem for them.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring next. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.